Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Welcome. Here we are deep in the throes of Lent.
We're so deep into Lent.
And before we get too far into it, a few things you should know. Number one, we like to swear.
Yeah, we do.
The more tired we get, the worse it gets. So you've been warned.
Yeah.
We also tiptoe right up to the line of heresy and blasphemy. Sometimes we just barrel right over it.
Cross it with abandon.
We only mean it most of the time.
Yeah.
As we explore our faith. Yeah, welcome to it. But everybody needs a little bit of a libation to grease those Theo wheels. I don't know where I'm going.
You just slipped like right into EWTN mode. Like, yeah,
yes, I've actually.
As we explore our faith and then right back out of that, EWTN
that
mode.
That sums us up pretty well.
Like, and we're greasing the wheels with booze.
I mean, that's pretty much how I live my life, yeah. If we're honest.
It's like 10% EWTN and the rest of it's just alcohol.
In all fairness, I have never really listened to EWTN, watched it. I don't even do... I think you can do both.
Yeah. You can definitely watch it. I think you can do both. I've watched about 5 minutes of it.
I feel like there's probably not a lot of crossover in the demographic.
Yeah, no, I don't think that we have a lot of avid EWTN fans tuning into church.
Even though we don't watch or listen to EWTN, we're Catholic. Yeah. You don't have to be to listen to us.
And if you do listen or watch to EWTN, watch to EWTN?
God, I don't know what you're saying anymore.
We are
anymore.
Stumbling. You're welcome to join us, even if you're an EWTNer. That's what I was trying
to
do.
That was like the best intro we've ever done.
Smooth. As silk.
You know what else is smooth? What are you sipping? Guest, co-host.
I'm having a beer.
A beer.
It's a lovely double brown ale. And I'm excited to be carb loading because tomorrow I've got a ridiculous obstacle course that's going to break me.
Fun. Very Lenten of you.
Penitential. Yeah, actually, that's true.
We'd be offering every slip and fall into the mud for someone's prayers.
I think I have to like make for every obstacle. It's going to be like a station of the cross.
Yeah. Ooh! Wow! Yeah. Look at you.
Guest falls the third time.
Look how optimistic he is.
Guest falls
three times.
The 13th time.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah. So all right. I'll be walking the the Via Dolorosa.
Wow! He's just getting all in here on his knees, crying. Yeah. Jesus!
Oh God, save me!
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my plan. Is I'm carb loading with some alcohol.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna pay for it tomorrow.
You know, that's pretty holy. I don't even have that good of an excuse, but I'm joining you. And we're sharing, actually, a large pour of a double brown.
Double brown.
And I was kind of pleased by the double nature of brown because it can go both ways. Like, there's lots of great things that are brown
and
lots
of
bad things that are brown.
Really bad things.
And today we're going to be talking about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Madness, the double-sided edge of the madness line.
Yeah, we went down the ragelessness path a few weeks ago.
Yes,
and we did a deep dive on that because it's our charism, it's who we are. But we, in preparation for this, we're talking about kind of inspired by like the whole March Madness thing that's going on. You know, like that's exciting. It's a fun time of year every year, and there's buzzer beaters and exciting stuff going on with the NCAA tournament. But it's like a catchphrase for March. Like, oh, it's March Madness.
March Madness.
It's March Madness. And we realized that we in our Lenten journey become fully immersed in March Madness for so many reasons.
And I think this year in particular just feels like particularly mad to me, and I mean it in like the British sense. Like this is craziness.
Yeah,
this world is just full of utter madness.
It is.
You know, this time of year, it's seasonal, so why not? Let's talk about madness. And madness is not ragelessness.
No, it's not. It's the opposite side of the coin, I feel like. So ragelessness is like a justified,
righteous
indignation,
rage.
But it's not something that's like, you know, I am holier than thou. It's just like, this is bullshit, and everything is bullshit, and we need to stop being bullshit.
Gives us a little fuel to keep going sometimes.
Madness is more of just like... It feels more like chaotic, more out of control.
Yeah, I've lost my damn mind. That's what I think about.
And I feel like...
And I feel like that a lot lately.
We have become like, we've habituated a bit to like the madness. Like it seems like the world is crazier than it has ever been.
Right.
And yet every day it's like, oh, look, there's another headline about how completely insane and off the rails the world is.
Totally.
And you need to kind of slap yourself every now and then and be like, no, this is not okay. That's where ragelessness kicks in. Like, this is not okay.
Right.
But the madness is external and it's always going on.
Yeah. So, like, there's like the madness of the general world and our particular corner of it. And then there's also like the madness in us in Lent. Like, because we've talked about this before, like I always like and dislike Lent. So it's this time where I just feel like I'm going crazy a little bit of like yo-yoing in spiritual emotions and or practices. So it's just like I'm not centered a lot of the time, which sort of feels appropriate. It's like I can like talk myself off it and be like, you know what though? Like it's good to do this deep clean. It's good to bring these things up. It's good to connect with this suffering of Christ. But it makes me crazy a little bit. So I need to back it up and keep that Easter prize in my sight.
I mean, that is that's the benefit that we have is by, you know, like the resurrection gives us a very particular perspective on Lent and why we do all of that stuff. But I find that for me, like the real sort of madness, the manic nature of Lent really kicks in when I feel like I'm not making progress. Like it's like a house cleaning. It's a time to focus on. And I feel like this has been one of those years for me, like, and it's through just a lack of discipline and like there's so much other stuff kind of going on that like I have not flat out have not taken the time to just sit down and do the sort of prayer practices and the things that I should be doing. And so now here we are like almost at the beginning of Holy Week. And I'm like, well, shit, 40 days of no goddamn potatoes and I've made zero spiritual progress.
It's almost like it was small potatoes this year.
Oh, goddamn you.
I'm sorry to everyone. You know, it's interesting. I know. Couldn't help it. I don't expect to make any progress in Lent. It's like I kind of embrace like the breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I think that's probably more like what you're supposed to be doing.
I don't, it doesn't feel good. I don't, I should probably be progressing out of it, but it's like I've kind of scheduled it and I'm just like, yes, I'm going to go there at this time. No,
maybe,
I don't know.
I mean, maybe you're right, though, because, like, when I think about...
No, but what's the point of that? Like, it probably should be.
Well, no, but, like, I mean, there has to be a breakdown, right? Yeah. You got to go through Good Friday to be able to get to Easter. Like, you have to be able to go through that process. And for me to think of it as some sort of journey where it's, like, just a little bit of progress every day for 40 days, and by the end of it, I'm a better person. Like, that's like the people who give up carbs for Lent because they're like, I'm just trying to lose a couple extra pounds. I'm going to give up bread for Lent. And it's like, no, that's not what it's there for, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe maybe it's a matter of changing my perspective on the madness.
I mean, I could see it going either way, to be honest. The other thing I thought about with madness and just the season of the year, like we just had the spring equinox, right? So it's spring has sprung and spring is kind of a mad time in like the natural world, right?
Like a little crazy.
Everything gets a little crazy. I feel like it's in the air.
Yeah,
so.
Wildflowers start popping and everything is starting to like change very rapidly as opposed to wintertime where everything is just kind of like static and bleak.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So lots to be mad about. So we couldn't resist the fun of a bracket.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to take the March Madness thing and we're going to run with it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the things that are maddening about March and Lent and our planet right now. And we're going to narrow it down. We're going straight to the Sweet 16. So we're not going to go 64 things would be a lot of things to try and list. I'm sure we could get there.
We could get there, but if you haven't noticed, we're already tired of the long time of Lent.
So. We don't want to put you guys through all that.
We're
going to
have like
a list of
the last week of Lent madness.
Yeah. So, and it's appropriate because we are in the midst of Sweet 16 as we are recording this right now in the tournament.
Congratulations to Loyola Chicago,
Loyola Chicago,
MDG.
A little something. And so we came up with lists, each of us individually, of 4 to 5, in order to have a backup, things that are part of what we would consider to be the madness of March and this current season in life. And then 4 or 5 things that would go on the opposite side of the bracket, which are like sort of the opposite of madness. Things that bring peace, things that bring calm, things that keep us centered.
I thought of them as kind of as like remedies. Like when you're in the madness, like what can maybe pull you just a little bit out.
Right.
So
what we're going to do with this is we need to compare lists right now to be sure that we have 8 things that will be filling out the madness side of the bracket.
Yep.
And 8 things that will be filling out the remedy side of the bracket, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to press pause. We're going to actually seed them 1 through 8 and hand them off to Mrs. Guess, who will pick winners and fill out her tournament bracket for the Sweet 16 to give us a winner of the Madness side and a winner of the Remedy side, and then we'll come back on. We'll tell you what she chose, and it'll be we'll try and reveal them as a surprise to us, and then eventually figure out have the great debate of who wins, Madness or Peace and Calm and all things remedial.
Right, and if remedial? This sounds
that's the not the right use of that term.
I mean, in the true definition sense, sure. Well, so if this all sounds very confusing, that's cool. Just listen along.
So
and here we go.
What did you get on your list? Do you want to start with things that are maddening or things that
I mean, I feel like that's the easier list.
Okay. All right.
These are not in any particular order. Yes. Okay,
we just need to be sure that we can come up with eight between our two lists.
Unique, so, eight unique.
Okay. So what was your first one?
Plastic Island.
Oh, God. I read that article
today. There's so much fucking plastic.
Yeah.
And like, I knew about it from a while ago.
Yeah.
There's actually more than one of them, right? And they're big. And I think the one I saw a couple years ago was mostly on the surface, but this new article pointed out how much is like in all the strata of the water. Yes. Does water have strata? I don't know.
Water does have strata.
There's
there's
little Klein's. Microplastic and all the Klein's.
Klein's.
Okay. So too much freaking microplastic in like the turtles
garbage patch.
Eat it and like it looks like food and they eat it in their tummies. Ugh.
And it's made up of like cast off fishing nets and all kinds of stuff. And
that
it
just
is
like sums up the desecration of the planet.
Ever since people started talking about this, like about a decade ago or so, maybe a little bit more than that, if depending on what circles you run in, everybody has thrown out this statistic like, oh, it's the size of Texas, this great Pacific garbage patch, it's the size of Texas. And the article today says it's twice the size of Texas. It has at least doubled in size. Three times the size of France is how big this garbage patch
should not be surprising to us because just look around you. Like,
seriously.
Everybody has some horrid piece of plastic within like 5 feet of them right now.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
That bums me out.
That's going to get a high. That's going to get a high seed, I feel like. We're talking about a contender there.
I'm surprised it wasn't on both of our lists, to be honest.
Well, I did have, climate change.
Okay.
Thinking of all
you
things
went broad.
Together.
I like that. All
Now, for one that's very specific on my list.
Okay.
Daylight savings time.
What?
Daylight savings
magical.
Time. I love the fact that you get the extra hour at night. But when I think of things that, like, screw me up and drive me a little bit mad, daylight savings time fucks me up every year.
Yeah, it definitely contributes.
I cannot get myself out of bed in the morning. I wake up, it's dark outside, I don't know why, and I'm like, where am I? What's going on? And for like a week, I run at least 5 minutes late to everything.
Is that why I'm so tired this week?
Yes, that's why you're so tired, because
really
like for 2 weeks, we've been trying to adjust to like our diurnal rhythms are out of whack.
Wow.
Our circadian rhythms. Yes.
Huh.
So, daylight savings time.
Blown. Okay.
I don't know that it's going to be a high seed, but it makes my list of March Madness.
I wonder if there have been, like, studies done, like, how it affects, like, the hospital rates or, like, the violent crimes, like, cranky people.
Absolutely. Just messes me up.
All right. Well, that is fair enough. I went kind of broad and systemic on my second one, which is corporations as people. If there's anything that makes me crazy, it's that as a society, we have given corporations the standing of personhood. And I just see so much like systemic and structural evil that like flows forth from this.
Yeah.
Like everything I get mad about in terms of, you know, business and the middle class or the poor in functioning Western societies. I'm like, why do we give corporations the standing? It's so wrong. So
mine is similar to that, but different.
Yeah.
Trade wars.
Okay.
The goddamn trade wars. I'm
greed.
So,
that's one of ours.
Greed. But I feel like we can separate it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Because trade wars are this international incident where it's like a tweet from the president all of a sudden spins everybody off. Wall Street's like on a yo-yo string, and it's like everybody's afraid of this like back and forth tariffs and trade wars and everything else. And I am in the camp of, if you're going to fight a war or don't fight a war. Preferably, don't fight a war. But to do like this trade war stuff where it's like
poke,
everything.
Poke, poke.
Yeah, and it's going to affect real people in real ways. And it's not going to, because we treat corporations as people, those will be protected.
Yeah.
And what's going to suffer are real people. Just like in a real war, except this one just feels so freaking slimy.
Yeah, it's subversive.
Yes.
And it's dark underbelly.
Yes.
Okay, I think that, and that brings me right to my next one, which is, I hate to say it, our president.
Yeah.
The Dorito of Doom. Like,
the Dorito of Doom.
I just, so much stress and like madness and like, you know, you're saying like you look at the headlines and you're like, wait, what? Like, it's all so unbelievable. And I've often enjoyed like fantastical fiction. I never wanted to be in one of those books.
Yeah. No.
So that's just a stressor.
I had rather than just the president, I had Trump tweets on my list.
Okay.
Like, so we might have to conflate those. Have to figure out which one makes the final cut.
Okay.
Mrs. Guest may get the final say on which one goes on the bracket. But yeah, I'm in agreement. The Dorito of Doom should be on there somewhere.
Yeah.
And I've got, so one of mine
just
was.
Just because I'm scared. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One of mine was Lenten. 40 days of fasting is a long time.
Yeah, it's a long flipping
time. To plan my menu around, right? What am I going to have on Friday? And I mean, this is total first world problem compared to everything else that we've been talking about. But I have to have on Friday. What am I going to have on Friday? Where are my potato chips at? Where am I, you know, like, and again, fish and chips, a delicious Lenten staple.
Yeah.
I will be abstaining this year.
I heard you were having fish tonight, and I wondered, I bet he's going to have some veg next to that fish.
Yeah, fish and veg. That's my Lent.
Hey, healthy.
It is. It's fresh. It's healthy. When I fall for the 13th time tomorrow, I'll be like, well, it would be 14 if I hadn't been sticking to a potato-less Lent.
But keep 40 drinking days, your beer.
40 days of fasting is a long time to
it's
be
a long time.
Like mindful of whatever it is that you've given up and the rules that go along with, you know, Fridays and all that kind of stuff. It's a long time. It's a slog.
Yes.
Yet another one that won't get a high seed, but is on there somewhere.
It counts. Well, mine was kind of in the religious camp as well.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that makes me really crazy, like mad in the crazy sense, not really sometimes the angry sense, more rageousness, but is the people who are so radically traditional that they just seem like freaking idiots to me.
Yeah.
All those people who want to yank us back before Vatican II. And I've heard a particular strain of recent where it's like the young people really want this and I'm like no. So that's on my mad list.
Catholic fundies not allowed.
You know what, like anybody in the middle is kind of okay with me. Like I don't mind if you like things that I don't like or whatever.
Right.
It's just those who are like you, like the judgy ones,
like the restorationists that are like the old way is the only way,
or like the Sedevacantists and their ilk. Anybody who's just spreading hate and not worrying about themselves
makes
enough.
Mad.
Yeah, it makes me real mad.
All right, fair enough. That gives us a good solid list. We may combine a couple of those to give us our eight. And on the good side of the bracket, what are the remedies, the things that bring peace?
I think you should start with
the
remedy because I just did my last.
Every year we throw together the Lenten, Church Drunk Lenten reading list.
Oh, yes.
One of my remedies for when the world around me is madness or when I'm feeling bound up.
Totally.
A good book.
A good book.
A good book is a great remedy for
really nice.
When the world is going mad.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Kind of related to literacy, I suppose, is I kind of went on more of a spiritual kick for these, I guess, for remedies. And one I put actually that gives me hope would be Catholic education. So I'm always proud to be Jesuit educated, but in addition to them, like, there's lots of great, like, Catholic universities, and I think we are holding a certain line and educating lots and lots of people who hopefully suck up a little bit of that, if not a lot, to take out into the world. So, I think we're adding more to the positive column.
Yeah.
Just through that.
Well, along the lines of my first one, which was, you know, related to the Lenten reading list, we also do the Stations of the Cross playlist every year.
Yes.
And so one thing that popped into my mind was the perfect song. Like, usually every Lent, there's, like, a song that I'm like, this is my Lent soundtrack. Like, this is my song.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it comes at the right time, and, you know, I'm feeling Lenty, and the world is crazy, and I can just listen to that song, and it'll help me like breathe and calm down.
I love that. Actually, my backup one was going to be your liturgical seasonal musical choices because they often make me feel better. And I listen for them during the year, like thinking about like, oh, this would be a good song for this or that. Like, I think it makes me more aware.
Well, keep an eye out.
Okay.
That musical Stations of the Cross playlist coming soon to the Church Drunk blog.
Nice. Another thing that I feel like is a remedy to like this general madness of life or the way society can be is God's track record for preferring the unlikely hero. I always like stories like hero's journey, but really I think we've got a great scriptural track record of like God picking people who are not obvious choices,
yeah.
which gives me hope when there's nobody in the obvious choice category.
Right.
And I think one example is like the students who are marching and who are speaking up for safety in the schools. And like, look at these,
very true.
You know, people from who are not automatic leaders really stepping up. And yeah. I think God is on their side and we All should right. be too.
I like it. Yep. I like it. Mine, this one kind of crosses over from secular to spiritual, but, it's the explosion of creation during spring that we kind of talk about. Like the world is changing, and that can be in some ways, you know, like you can look at it and be like, the world is going mad. And if you have allergies, springtime is not fun. But watching the seasons change, watching the world change, going for a hike in my favorite park and seeing mm-hmm. it turn green and having the flowers growing and all that kind of stuff, that for me is a calming thing. So just mm-hmm. kind of like the idea of going out into creation and just breathing it in, I think that's more accessible during springtime for me. And that definitely is like a bringer down when I'm kind of, when I just need some space, I go find some space in creation. I go for a hike. So that's a good one for me.
Hey man, enjoy it while it lasts.
Totally. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I had a naturey one on there too, but I actually was saying, look up. I was thinking about the cosmos and the stars and the sky. And I think because they're so old, that can give me a calm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I mentioned Plastic Island, like as much as I love the ocean, it makes me a little freaked out to think about it sometimes. Yeah. But like looking up, I'm like, well, we haven't trashed space completely yet, you know? And they've been there so long, and the stars and some of them are gone and we still see their light, and like insert all the cosmos metaphors. They're true though. Like if you've ever been in a really dark night with the stars so beautiful, you can't help but feel like, all right, well, we're just a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So
we may be headed for a creation showdown somewhere in this bracket where we have the cosmos versus the flowers. I mean, it could be crazy.
Sky versus sea. Yeah. I don't know.
And last one on my list is, I mean, I feel like it's an obvious choice for church drunkers, moderate to heavy drinking.
Oh my gosh.
Can really help.
Alcohol is also on my backup list.
When madness comes knocking, moderate to heavy drinking usually is at least one of many solutions I find myself turning to.
Let us toast to that. Tink. Yes. Okay, great. I think we have to acknowledge that. Not too much. You said moderate.
Moderate to heavy.
Whatever you need to do.
Somewhere on that spectrum. Not light, though. You can't get away with light drinking and having
the madness. You're just being an asshole then.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you're trying to comfort yourself with, like, a sip, just stop.
Right.
All right. Well, my last one was, like, transfiguration moments. So recently in Lent, we had the story of the transfiguration, which is actually one of my very favorite gospel stories, you know, because I relate to Peter. You know, it's like, let's just stay here.
Let's just hang out.
This magical moment we just had. We're all together.
We'll build cabins. It'll be awesome.
It'll be fine. We don't have to go anywhere. Why would we leave? Like, I relate to that so much.
There's
and
some
I think
fish in that river over there.
God will provide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think I've been blessed in my life to have a few of those moments, and I think we look to those as like sustenance, you know, to have those moments that you look back on where everything was right, even if it's just for a blink.
Yep.
And you treasure that. So
absolutely. That's what
things that keep
us. You
through.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right.
So we'll refine those lists of eight and seed them out, and then we will hand off our brackets to Mrs. Guess.
The infinitely patient.
She will determine the winners of all the matchups down to the final showdown, and we'll come back.
And we will debate.
We will reveal Mrs. Guess's input on her brackets, and then we'll figure out who wins the championship of our March Madness tournament.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And we are back.
Woo-hoo.
It was a long journey. We had to do some really tough decisions to sort out our seeds and make our brackets.
Mm-hmm.
But we got there, passed them off to Mrs. Guess, and she went ahead and she was our official arbiter And she was determining winners and losers of every matchup of our brackets.
And I was curious if she had picked based on what she thought Guess and I would like, or what she liked, or what. So tell us, how did you choose?
Kind enough to join us and tell us all about it. So, Mrs. Guess.
Well, I'm sure my personal bias is not entirely excluded, but I did try and look at it.
As your husband, I trust your judgment inherently.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say.
Up the points.
Yeah.
Mostly but
your judgment about spouses. You nailed it.
Right. Thank you.
Well, we should have stopped.
yeah, I think I tried to focus on the sort of communal perspective. So what would be better or worse, more maddening, for sort of community as a whole, society as a whole. There was only one really tough call where... Really? Community won over personal.
Oh,
but
so
you'll have to highlight that one.
I will point that one out.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So we're going to start with the madness, but we can end on a hopeful note, maybe.
With the madness, it became very apparent very quickly when we sat down to sort out our seeds who the number one seed or what the number one seed was going to be. I think it's a what more than a who. When it comes to the mat, but we had our 1-8 matchup. So the top seed on the madness bracket went to, as Dizzy puts it,
the Dorito of Doom.
The Dorito of Doom. And we decided to scale it away from his tweets and just say the man himself and the office that he's occupying.
Right, I wish now. It was limited to the one thing, but it's just not.
So the Dorito of Doom, Dorita? Is it lady
whatever
now?
Whatever you want to call
Dorito
it.
Dorito of Doom versus the 8 seed, 40 days of fasting. It just felt a bit like...
Because you were being a whiny
first
bitch
world problems to be complaining, right? So, the Dorito of Doom versus 40 days of fasting, and the winner is the overpuffed Cheeto, as Mrs. Guest puts it. Well played.
Just keeps
well played.
Going.
So, the 1 seed wins. Yep. Next up, we have... climate change, which was our number 2 seed.
Mm-hmm. And we incorporated my pick of the plastic sea or the plastic island.
Yeah.
Versus
daylight savings time. Again, a bit first world problem-ish, like, I have to get up early.
Although you made a good case.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, climate change versus daylight savings time, and we have climate change.
Yes. All right. Good choice. So we're with you so far.
Still going chalk. The 1 seed and 2 seed both advance, and that's going to be... Oh, I realized I made my bracket wrong because now we're going to have our 1 seed and 2 seed go up in the next round. But that's fine. Whatever. It's all fake. Number 3 was corporations as people, followed by, and we also call that the 1%.
Yes.
That was
greed.
Kind of, yeah.
Structural greed.
Structural greed versus radical. Radical Catholic traditionalists.
And I'll tell you that this is the one where.
This is one of those tough.
This is the one where.
Really?
Where I had. What I am personally and somewhat first world problem-y most maddened by is not what is most maddening for community and society, I think, at this time. So this one.
So we had the 3 seed, corporations as people, going up against the 6 seed, radical Catholic traditionalists. And the winner was corporations as people with radical traditionalists scratched out. Like, this was actually intense for you, huh?
Yeah, this one was just, I find from, like, a personal and spiritual level, radical Catholic traditionalists are just, like, completely moving everybody in the wrong direction, as are corporations as people and the 1%, but I feel like more people are maddened and affected on a greater scale, and maybe to some degree a more personal level by the corporations as people.
Okay.
So that's kind of...
I mean, I guess, like, radical Catholic traditionalists only gets you so far. Like, if you are, you know, Buddhist or something like that, like, it's less infuriating than it is for those of us that are Catholic, probably.
Right, but if you're going to invite Mrs. Guest to Mass, you best be facing her.
Right, true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't turn your back.
Don't turn your back at the altar. Yeah. No rail. That should be a t-shirt. No rails.
Hashtag no rails. Then that brings us to our final first round matchup here. The 4 seed, Trade Wars, which sucked, versus the 5 seed, which became Tweets as News. When we had to kind of drop the Trump out of the tweets, we thought about the fact that tweets have become news, and that made the list. So, 4 Trade Wars versus 5 Tweets as News, and the winner is... Tweets as news.
Ooh, a little surprise.
2 upsets.
Okay.
I guess corporations as people was the top seed. So really the only upset was the 4-5. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Now, because I don't know how to make a bracket, well, then she would have to choose okay, a new okay, one. Okay. So I don't know how to make a bracket I haven't done one in a few years.
Cut to the chase. We don't like it to go on too long.
I figured out that nobody wins the NCAA tournament. It's always just whoever runs the NCAA that makes more money. So I don't make brackets anymore.
I feel like this is, once again, the category of it's not cheating if you plan on it. Totally. Yes.
Okay. So I don't know how to make a bracket, which means that we have the number one seed, the Overpuff Cheeto / Dorito of Doom, versus the two seed, Climate Change. This one is a doozy.
He's hurting both.
Yeah. And Mrs. Guess says, the tangerine talking ass. The president is worse than climate change.
I'm like, totally with her on
the end of the planet.
Only because climate change has started long before he took over. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I just cannot see how any of the work that he claims to be doing is making it any better. Like, he is just exacerbating that at a rate faster than it already would be going, and therefore, like, that is more maddening.
Totally.
That he has a position to do something about
it. I'm with her.
Choosing not to.
Ah, well played. Well played, Diz. Well played.
All right, what's our next one?
And we have corporations as people versus tweets as news. That is a 3 seed versus a 5 seed. And the winner is corporations as people.
Yep,
all right.
Evil.
Giving us a final showdown in this bracket of the tangerine talking ass versus
matchup.
Corporations as people. And this is like this is almost like a symptom kind of versus disease kind of like argument,
what came
right?
First.
Yeah, because we have the product of having corporations as people
and for
as
the
our
record,
president right now.
I was also directed to consider the general trajectory of March Madness, which is unsuspected and often just, you know, endings that maybe wouldn't be what you would have thought.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what I would have thought.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
All right.
We have Tangerine Talking Ass, the number one overall seed, versus Corporations as People, the 3 seed. Very closely intertwined here. And the winner is... Oh, my God. A novel. The winner is a novel.
Mrs. Guest would like us to know. Tie could not be broken, so they joined together into one truly maddening team because they stand for the same bullshit self-serving interests. So, like, the glob came back together.
Yeah.
The amoeba of Dorito Doom.
Yeah. So, wait, who absorbed whom? Like, did the corporations as people suck
like,
up?
Like, took its evil egg back?
Yeah, like, from whence it came? Is the president so big now that he actually sucked up every evil corporation?
I think in, like, true form, both would tell you that they absorbed the other into their
That's
true.
Their ness, their being.
I think you have a deeper understanding of this than we do.
When the Dorito of Doom fired Rex Tillerson, was that not the overall victory of the president over corporations as people? Because he did used to run ExxonMobil.
So he can just hire somebody else who was very similar to do the same thing?
Okay. I think if he's the face of it, you
know? So maddening. So maddening, it could not be determined.
The winner of the maddening bracket is this awful,
is madness.
Yeah,
it's madness itself.
It is madness itself. Uh-huh. This horrible non-living entity that also includes the president of the United States.
Wow. An amoeba of greed and doom.
Yeah.
Cool.
Get mad.
Okay. Feel great. Let's see what our remedy is.
Like,
do we have any remedy strong
enough to combat
this?
It's like a Sharknado, only worse.
Oh,
like a million times worse.
Ooh.
All right. Moving on to something that might make us a little bit happier. Our list of remedies was sorted out into the brackets. And start us off.
Our first seed, number one seed, was God Loves Underdogs, which was one of my favorite picks because God picks the unlikely hero often. That's all we hope for now because there's no apparent hero. Versus number 8 seed, Catholic Education, which while we love it, just couldn't really compete highly.
It's a little bit
these.
Different. Yeah.
All right, so let's see. God does love
God
the
underdogs. The
cool.
one seed advances. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Next one, number 2 seed.
We struggled with what to put at the number 2 seed because we love everything on this list.
Yes, that actually was a really tough. All of these were kind of tough to list, but we did end up being clever and putting A Good Book versus number 7, The Perfect Song, because those are both kind of escapes or comforts.
Totally. It ends up being that, like, the perfect song probably gets ranked a little bit low, but in the end, we're lit nerds. Like, we are bookworms.
We actually didn't necessarily put it seven. We just wanted those to go against each other. Yeah.
And we wanted to see what Mrs. Guest would do in that situation.
Now, this is who she picked is really how I read this one.
Yeah.
a good book.
A good book. Okay. All right.
Nice.
Any particular book you would turn to?
Yeah. We want to hear your literary highlights.
Well, if I wasn't... a little bit over it at the moment. I might pick the Harry Potter septology.
Wow. I kind of knew
what
that
do
you,
what
might
do
be
you
doing
call
that.
A series of seven
septuagint?
Yeah,
a septuagint.
Nerds,
perfect.
We're nerds. We know
oh my gosh! Of course you did. Look at you. All right, let's.
All right, on to the next matchup. We have our ranked number three was close to our heart as well. Moderate to heavy drinking.
It felt sad to even put it number three.
I know.
We were like, oh,
that
sorry,
was a
drinking.
Contender. That was a contender. And still is. It could make it. Could make it through.
Yeah.
And going up against number six, transfiguration moments. Those mountaintop moments, those touchstones that sustain us across time. All right. So the winner is...
Yay!
Transfiguration moments.
I'm surprised that I'm actually cheering that.
Alcoholism has been defeated.
I mean,
we figured it out.
If some of your transfiguration moments involve some drunkenness,
true. We did actually, when we looked at that matchup, we're like, one could lead to the other. And
they're together in my
no
heart.
Particular order. So, okay, fair enough. So, transfiguration moments. That's an upset. The sixth seed moves on.
Hey, that is.
All right. And now we have a 4-5 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our
another
creation.
Deliberate pairing.
We put our creation ones against each other. So Diz said that one of her remedies for madness was to look up at the cosmos.
Yep.
I said that one of my remedies was to look down at the spring flowers and the explosion of a new season around me.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of this 4-5 matchup is...
What?
Flowers and butterflies.
I'm sorry, but you know what? When the earth is burning, the stars will be watching.
This is true. This is true. The cosmos is eternal. Our eternal is eternal. The cosmos.
Whatever. All right, so Mrs. Guest, I was with you right until the end.
Oh,
my. You lost it. All right.
So now we have our 1-2 matchup, because again, I don't know how to make a bracket.
I like
so
it this way. God does love the underdogs versus a good book.
A good book.
That's a tough.
Do you rely on hope of the underdog, or do you just bury your nose in a book and escape?
Now, I was citing, as Mrs. Guest put it, the good book when I was thinking of underdogs, like a scriptural tradition, as well as
a
historical.
Tradition. Yeah.
So let's see who's our...
Underdogs.
Underdogs
are the winner. That's good. Live in the real world. Yeah.
That's who our hope has to be on right
now. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now we have the 6th seed of transfiguration moments versus the 5 seed of looking down at the flowers in bloom around us during springtime. And...
Ooh.
Transfiguration moments. The 6th seed advances.
With a caveat.
Fueled by rainbows and flowers and butterflies and spring.
So apparently only those transfiguration moments happening in the springtime months will be in this competition.
They are a little bit, you know, transfiguration moments in and of themselves.
But what about Christmas? Is Christmas not allowed because Christmas happens in the dead of winter?
I'm not, it's just a little far away from me.
Okay. You know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
We'll just take it. So now we have underdogs versus transfiguration.
Wait now. And we have, like, a paradox.
Yeah.
Because if underdogs win, the lower seed loses. The underdog would only be defeated by God's preference for an underdog.
Rude.
Did you do this on purpose?
You'll have
You're
to
You're scrambling
out.
My brain.
You guys, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
We should get another mashup.
So, 1 seed versus 6 seed.
Okay.
Transfiguration versus underdogs.
Transfiguration moments.
Wow. It is
okay.
The underdog. Okay.
I'm actually surprised by this. And she wants us to know everyone wins, even the underdog has his moments and feels lightened by it.
Okay. So, we have a very, actually, this became a very personal kind of thing. Like, as opposed to... We're pinning our hopes on an underdog to win it all for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the moments that will sustain me and keep me going. I mean, not me, but us and but everybody individually.
It's probably better for the underdogs, really, because they're going to get sacrificed if they go.
Well, and the underdogs need their touchstone moments. They have to have those moments to keep them going. Interesting.
That is not what I expected. So you definitely delivered on the surprise element.
Yeah. So what we have...
I feel like we're just, like, stunned into our, like... I know. What happened to our things?
So we have... Basically, we have... I mean, we've got
Yeah, we have to discuss this.
We've got an optimist versus pessimist throwdown if we match the winner of the Maddeners bracket against the winner of the Remedies bracket.
So we have the Amoeba of Doom with the Doritos face versus Transfiguration Moments.
Corporations that become people and suck up all of the goodness yes. around them hmm. versus those very personal individual moments that sustain you through life and kind of keep you going.
Well, I mean, I always want to like pick the hopeful option, but I think it's true in this case also because the only way we're going to survive this time period is by having those touchstones of having something positive to look back on and remember or making those moments as we go forward too.
I'm torn. Mm-hmm. Because... The transfiguration, when we talk about transfiguration, yeah. is something that was meant to be impossible, right? Like Jesus shining and right. showing himself to be the Messiah, right?
This is a great moment of understanding for the apostles.
This is a person being turned into something light. Miraculous.
Yeah.
And now we've got it against like this genuinely great evil where
that's real life, everyone.
Something that is not a person gets transfigured into something that we bow down to, something that has a personality, something that runs the world.
You are not going to combine both of these, like no.
No, you can't. But you can't. It's Christ versus Antichrist. It's good versus evil. Well, like it is pure like
and
chaos
to add to
versus,
it, you know, after the transfiguration, like Jesus gets crucified.
Also
like
true.
Like the that blob of evil happened.
Yeah.
So.
But the resurrection means that the blob of evil didn't win in the end. Transfiguration won in the end.
Right.
Jesus, we could be here all night
back,
debating this.
That's why they continued the church is because they could look back at those transfiguration literally moments.
God, I feel like such a bad person if I pick the corporate evil to win.
It is Lent.
And it is Lent.
Dude, yeah. The corporate evil doesn't win. This is why you don't believe in the resurrection. You know this, right? Like, this right here is why you have a problem with it.
But our president is Donald Trump. The corporate evil is winning. It's really hard right now to look at it and say that the little moments, that those little moments of faith and hope, that they're bigger than the great evil that rules our world.
But the big transfiguration is worth it.
Yeah, true. Well,
that's true.
Unless he
or
goes,
not.
The, yeah. Unless he's like, well, that Chinese thing that they figured out about being a dictator for life sounds great.
Rise up.
Yeah. So
let's see. Well, I mean, I don't know if we're just gonna fall on opposite ends if we have the realist versus the optimist here.
I think it's a matter of perspective. I do.
Okay.
I think that
you're both anding it.
No.
You can.
I'm
you
not.
Should.
I mean,
why
I
not? Should.
Well, okay. So here's the reality.
Okay.
Of it, all right. As I see it.
Okay.
The world will always be run by the jackasses, mm-hmm. right? The corporate entities, the Trumps of the world, the loudest, the most obnoxious. They've always been successful.
Mm-hmm.
They will always continue to be successful. But the people who are really winning the game, the people who are living a life, not necessarily that will go down in the history books, but the life that will be sustaining and enlightening and fulfilling, are the ones who are relying on those transfiguration moments. So while the world, the history books will be filled with these awful corporate and oftentimes very evil things, the transfiguration moments are what sustain all of us. Like, not just the big stuff, but the little stuff.
Yeah.
It's a matter of perspective.
Right. Well, I think we'll have more of those in the future, too.
And I think, in the end, the story that we put our faith in...
Yeah.
...is that, in the end, the transfiguration moments will be what bring us up
right.
to the next level.
The
whatever
thing
that
lasts.
Is, whatever that means. But, mm-hmm. yes, for an eternity, because this world is passing.
Okay, so we're going to tentatively agree that the transfiguration moments are the winners, if there
yes.
could be winners.
Right, but...
They might be like the winners of like this desolated little piece of earth that's left,
right.
but they'll win.
The Maddeners take March, but the transfiguration moments take all of eternity.
Whoa, mic drop.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, you could
that
tell
was,
us.
You put us in a pickle there, Mrs. Guest. Thanks
yeah.
for that.
Yeah. You're what was welcome. The number for the seed, the Transfiguration?
Transfiguration was a six seed that made it all the way through.
What an upset.
I know, right?
Actual March Madness.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the Loyola Chicago of the Remedies bracket. Yeah.
Well, then it has to be the right choice.
Well, that was exciting for us.
Yeah.
But it was interesting for all of you.
Let us know what you would seed as the best and the worst of your moments
yeah.
or your list.
Email us, churchdrunk@gmail.com. Let us know what makes your list of Madners and Remedies.
You can tweet at Guess at churchdrunkpod.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for the musical Stations of the Cross playlist that
which
is coming your way.
Always a remedy
yeah.
to the long
and
sludge.
And it will be posted at some point during Holy Week, which starts
Holy
very
Week.
Soon.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Hosanna.
Yeah.
Coming your way.
Exactly. So we'll be back next week with another episode covering all things Triduum.
Thanks for being here, Mrs. Guest, and playing along.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time on Church Drunk, where the Madners and the Remedies are often found at the bottom of the same bottle.
Here, here.